am special guest
Abby Bennett.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Every day on pod is a day that I'm happy and doing well.
I agree. It's just it's lovely to be here and talking running, talking, you know, whatever else comes up, wherever the vibe might take us. It's
exactly.
Just wonderful.
Wherever the tangents may lead to whatever soon to be discovered mysterious segment on the Strava map of life, we'll run across it as fast as we can.
Yeah, we certainly will. And I know we've got a few items to cover. I mean, how do you want to go about things today?
I don't know. Should we talk about one item and then go to our wonderful conversation with our great special guest, popular runner, skier, New Hampshire resident Abby Bennett, and then come back and talk about things at the end? Did you have something else in mind?
No, I think that sounds great. I was, you know, as always, did not come in with a plan.
I have no plan. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have an item, I'd say go for it. If not, I'll dig one up. I mean, I will say the mailbag is quite full.
My only item is that, like, I don't know how many episodes we are into this podcast, maybe 70 or something like that. And mm-hmm. I still get confused every time we talk about ultra running. That's all. That's not really. Yeah, it's kind of an item.
It was nice to hear tonight from Abby, who I feel like is in the sort of ultra world, which generally revolves around trail running. But she like I have been for many years was sub ultra in terms of distance, probably for different reasons, but nonetheless, nice to meet another sub ultra enthusiast.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice world. Nice, a lot of nice people in the sub-ultra world.
Yeah. The ones that, you know, place in races and win races, like Abby, tend to be fast. They're a faster set of runner than I am, but there's still a similarity and affinity. You know, I can still relate.
Yeah. The segment shows up under the same name on both of your Strava accounts.
Yeah, I can create a segment just as anybody else can.
See how different I am now that I use Strava? I'm like a different person than the host that we all knew and loved for the first four or five seasons of this show.
Well, you know, the only constant, as we know, is change.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna especially in running, where you wear out your shoes at a faster pace than anyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of which,
yes.
There was a lot of chatter in the mailbag about there was I'd say some sort of like well-meaning just concern about your shoes from the gear shed.
Do it.
So I mean I kind of told you off pod. I said you might be trying to do too much with this pair of shoes, like to look good and you know, be able to cruise around town in and also be a good, you know, daily trainer, and then maybe your race shoe as well. And that might be putting too much, you know, on one shoe.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think, you know, I think I have to lower my standards and maybe be happy with just getting shoes that look cooler than Hoka's.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say another mailbag entry sort of took it a step further and said not only, you know, is that asking too much of a single shoe, but it could also sort of wear it. You strike differently. You're going to wear the shoe differently. You're going to compress the foam and sort of pancake it unnecessarily. And there's a bunch of other, ill-advised reasons why you would not want to walk around in your running shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I have a pair of running shoes specifically that I use for when I travel because they're my best looking ones, and that's my Tracksmith Elliott trainers. And so, yeah, I wear those mostly for walking, but then every now and then I'll bust out a half marathon in them.
I'd say that's a different, I think that's a different thing. Cause I do that too.
Oh, okay.
a running, you're traveling for work and, need to figure out how to get work shoes and running shoes. And
Not bringing three shoes on this trip.
no. I think that type of utilitarian shoe is actually a good one. Yeah.
I was looking at the current colors of the Elliott trainers or whatever they're called, the Elliott runners, and I see that they come in an all black, and I was staring at it and I was like, can I wear that as also my work shoe? So I just have one shoe.
You could possibly get away with it. I don't know. Well, this is a good rebuttal. I mean,
I could certainly
I
get
think
away
I,
with it.
it's the classic argument for specificity or, generality. And
Most people wear sneakers at work now. I look at people's feet, and most people are wearing sneakers. I'm the only one wearing ox blood tasseled loafers. I'm the only one still doing that at work, or at least where I work. So I could without I wouldn't even have to get the black ones. I could wear the ox blood Elliott runners that I have now with a white stripe on them. I could just wear those.
All right. Well, so there's your answer.
Well, I appreciate everyone who wrote in. And we did get a couple mailbag recommendations of the same shoe I should look at, which was some kind of New Balance. What was it?
Some New Balance. I might have it here. Let's see if I can pull it out of the mailbag. Yeah, I don't have it. I don't have it right here. Must be a little bit further down. But yeah, there was a New Balance recommendation. I think I threw out some
Yeah,
ASICs.
these are all great recommendations, and all shoes that look slightly less cool even than the Saucony Endorphin Speed 5. So I'm just going to get an Endorphin Speed 5 once I finish wearing out the fours that I've got, which is any day now.
I will say most of the people that submitted mailbag entries for this topic were Endorphin Speed 5 like loyalists or fans. I feel like it came from two or three places, and I know that at least, or it was probably three places, and I know two of them are Endorphin fans.
Best damn shoe ever.
That's what I've heard. I have a problem with Saucony sizing. In any case, so I
Is
think
the toe
we
box too small for you?
the half size up is a little too big, and the full size is just a little too tight.
All right. Well, this week's outbound mailbag is we'll ask people what shoe you should run in since the Saucony Endorphin Speed 5s don't fit you quite right.
Well, I've only tried the Endorphin Rift, which is the trail version.
That would make
From
sense.
the Endorphin line, and I like them a lot, and I took them on a run, but I couldn't get. That's where I got that information I just shared about sizing.
I love it. Well, since was it, I can't remember what happened before the last episode, but Saucony put out the marathon edition of each shoe. I think we talked about that last week. And yeah, they're also hideous. And we realized one of them, we over here at My Apartment Industries in New York, we realized that one of them, the New York one looks like that invasive insect that's been like taking over New York for the last few years that you're advised to stomp on if you see it.
Oh
You
no.
know that
Is it
bug?
the beetle?
The lantern fly?
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
Anyway, take a look at the Saucony Endorphin Speed 5 New York Marathon Edition. It looks like the invasive lantern fly that's been trying to take over New York City and other areas in the Northeast for the last 3 or 4 years.
Maybe it's kind of like a flex at the lantern flies.
Yeah, like what?
I learned that up here we're pretty close to, and maybe even have eradicated the Japanese like white spotted beetle or whatever.
That good or bad?
It's good. Yeah,
Okay, good
no, it was an
work. Good work, everyone.
invasive. Yeah, you it was a positive eradication
Good.
by design. Who knows what other damage was caused in the process,
It's not easy.
but apparently it just takes one to sort of like restart the whole thing. But as of right now, we might be out of the woods.
Well, anyway,
Suppose that was good.
I'm not wearing the lantern fly themed shoes. I think it's a weird choice by the people that's talking here.
Yeah. Well, invasive species themed running gear of the week segment. And I don't
The
know, should we
award
get
this week goes to, sorry. The award goes to the Endorphin Speed 5 New York City Marathon Edition. But you were going to say?
was gonna say we should probably hop to our talk with Abby and maybe pick this up on the other side.
Yeah, that was a great talk. Let's go there now.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Okay, first of all, I'll just like lay out all the questions and then you can answer whatever you want. So, like, how do you guys know each other? Why do you like running, or what do you, how are you involved in running, and where do you live, and what is the meaning of the podcast name?
These are great questions. Trevor, do you want to start?
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, I can start with some of them. We'll probably need reminders because I think
Yes.
we'll miss some of them. But so we met each other in college about 24, 25 years ago now.
Yeah, almost 25.
To betray our ages a bit. But yeah, so we met probably in the year 2001. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I'd say February 2001.
That's probably right. Yeah,
Yeah.
so we've been friends since. That's a good segue to the name of the podcast was our college radio show, the Power Motion Picnic Hour, and
Cool.
the name itself stemmed from a physics class where I think we might have sort of like met, or it was the first class that we did together where we did something called what was it, the Power Motion Hour,
No,
or no,
the motion picnic was the
the
first
Motion Picnic.
lab in
Yeah.
our mechanics class. And
Thank you.
so we were combined when we named our college radio show, which was kind of a traditional indie rock college radio show, where we didn't talk about running once for the whole 4 years of college. We decided to combine our two favorite things, which we decided our two favorite things were that physics lab, the motion picnic, and a power hour, which I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's the drinking game that was very popular around us at that time, and we enjoyed
Yeah,
doing.
that makes sense. I was like, when I was trying to say the name of the podcast, I was like, Power Hour Motion Picture. You just want to say Power Hour like next to each other.
You're not used to seeing all those words together.
Yeah, it's a Power Hour sandwich. There's words in the middle.
Yeah, but frankly, I think we sometimes wonder why special guests even agree to join, because we've had many esteemed special guests, yourself included, and we think the name has a nice catch to it that people are at least intrigued to learn more.
I love it.
I'm not sure what your experience was with that, or
Yes,
yes.
it was that. And that's why I was like, this is one of the first questions that I have. And I'm sure you've explained it before, so I apologize. But
Maybe we have.
I think we tease out little bits of information occasionally because other guests have asked, but that's
Yeah.
probably the most comprehensive or deep that we've gotten. So,
Awesome. Off to a good start.
But I guess how we became a running podcast and into running, we both started running. I mean, we've run throughout our lives, like high school track, and then periods of less running. But we both got like really back into it sort of independently, but around the same time, about 4 or 5 years ago. And then we decided we should, I think we had a friend who we called the dear listener, the original listener, who was another friend from college, who said, "You guys should do a podcast. I'd love to hear you guys talk about running." And so
Yeah.
we do it mainly for that one listener. And then we've had a few others join along the couple years we've done it.
That's a success then.
Yeah.
As long as they keep listening.
We measure success in running and in life by level of enjoyment. And so we've enjoyed doing this
Yep.
podcast immensely. So from that measure, this has been a huge success.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree on that. I'm like, if you start doing something, the enjoyment has to come from actually doing it and not from whatever like goal you might have, which that's just like a side benefit, I think.
That was like the one of the themes of the musical I saw last night, because I think you asked where we live, right? And I live in New York City, so I went to see a Broadway musical last night
Whoa,
called Maybe Happy
casual.
Ending, which just won all the Tony Awards this year. But that had one of those themes about enjoying the process.
Cool. I love musicals, so I'll have to check that one out.
Oh, nice. That makes two of us.
Good
Yeah, I'm
place to live. Yeah.
yeah, so I live in Massachusetts now. I grew up in New Hampshire, and let's see, I think I'm less into musicals. But
That's
that's okay.
okay. Yeah.
That's okay, right?
New Hampshire, yeah. Like where in Massachusetts do you live?
I live in a town called Sudbury, which is a little west of Boston,
Yeah, okay, cool.
kind of between Boston and Worcester.
Yeah. I lived in Worcester for a bit. My grandparents lived there.
Oh, nice.
And I would commute to Boston from there because it was too expensive to like get an apartment without having the job first for a while.
Yeah.
So I
Right,
was
right,
like
right.
taking, I was, the last stop in the commuter rail all the way to Boston.
Wow.
Yeah,
Nice.
kind of brutal, but yeah, the old commuter rail is great.
It's good. I've never had to commute too much into Boston. I've been mostly like hybrid and remote
Oh,
even
nice.
before COVID. And where are you calling in from?
I live in Jackson, New Hampshire,
Oh, nice.
which is like the kind of the center of the White Mountains and closest to the presidential range.
Love
Yeah,
we
and
we're both big fans.
I learned to ski in Jackson, New Hampshire.
Ooh, at Black
At
Mountain.
Black Mountain, yeah. It
Nice.
was great. Yeah, I imagine you skied Black Mountain a lot.
Yeah, I skied. So I'm not from here, but my partner and I live here, by choice because it's awesome, like with the mountains and everything. And I love skiing, so we've got four resorts within 10 minutes here.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I skied mostly at Black Mountain this past year. But yeah, a lot at Adpash and Cranmore too. It's they each have a different vibe.
Yeah, they're all great in different ways. The only one I've never skied is Black, but I feel like
Well,
I've experienced the vibe in the off season, and it's a cool place,
it
for
is.
sure. Yeah.
I haven't skied Black since I don't even know. It's been like 35 years.
Wow.
So I can't really speak to what it's like. I was gonna say it has the most like old school vibe, but of course it did because it was 35 years ago.
It's still that way.
Yeah.
It was actually closing. I think it might have been closed like the previous year, and then IndyPass bought it. And so
Ah,
they really
okay.
revamped it. They brought in a new general manager and like totally changed everything. And but still, like, I guess they revamped it. They still like took the what has made it special its whole existence, and then just like amplified it. So a lot of the people
Nice.
who used to go there came back this year because it had this like new energy, but still like all that character. So
Oh, awesome.
that's amazing. I feel like when we spoke with another special guest from Jackson,
Oh, yeah.
Hillary McCloy. I don't know if you know Hillary, but
Yes.
she this was like right before the season, and she was saying at the time that there were rumors that Black might not open for the season. So it sounds like it all worked out in the end, which is a
Yeah.
much, much better outcome.
It was like surprise last minute, this is happening. So, and then
That's
it was
awesome.
like a big success this year. So,
Oh,
nice.
good. I imagine for listeners of ours who get all their smaller ski area of New England news from us, they were probably disappointed about the lack of updates about what was going to happen with Black. So they're probably very relieved to hear.
Yeah, just you're just like 11 months late or something, it's
Yeah,
fine.
it's not breaking news, but it's good news.
Yeah,
So,
still fresh.
yeah, it's still positive. I got to get back up there, I guess.
Yeah,
Yeah, we could
definitely.
definitely spend the rest of the episode just talking about Jackson, I feel like. Can I tell you one Jackson story that I think is kind of amusing, perhaps?
Please.
So I was there with my family, and we were doing Storyland. I have two kids, and I think we were doing Storyland, and we did like Cranmore and the summer stuff they have there, and just enjoying the area, right? All the rivers and everything. And one morning, I from the house that we rented, I'm like, where can I go for a nice run? And it's all these beautiful like dirt roads, like could have just stuck to those, but I saw the Jackson cross country trails right down the road. And I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll go check those out. And as my friend who's more knowledgeable than I am about these things sort of told me afterwards, like they don't maintain like cross country trails at all in the summer. So
Oh, it's the worst running.
like running through, like I'm running, I like it started out fine and I was running along the river. And then at some point I wanted to do this little thing with a little bit of elevation. And I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna head up this way, and then at some point it just turned into like 2 foot grass,
Grass.
and it was miserable.
I had the same experience. Like when we first moved here about a year ago, we live right across the river, the Alice River, from those trails. And I was like you can see on the Strava heat maps that people run there. So I was like, cool, all right, I'm gonna like ford the river and then like try to run, like do the Keeney loop and stuff, like up Iron Mountain a little bit and then down. And yeah, I absolutely hate running in like knee-high grass. Like there's nothing worse than that. So I was just like, nope. I'm just like, bleh, I'm gonna turn around.
Nice, nice. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't even like running in short grass all that much, for
No.
that matter,
I know it's like, like we're trail runners and like we can do all this technical trail and like gnarly rocks and stuff, but as soon as there's like a little bit of grass or something, we're just like, ugh, get it off.
Yeah. And Dave is more of a road runner,
I'm one of those
correct?
road runners who runs on like the grass alongside the road for like 5 minutes and says to himself, "Is this trail running?" I'm that type of runner.
That's
So,
fair, that's fair.
but also actually, speaking of Strava, because I wasn't on it for a long time, and I'm on it more recently now. If you're using like people's past experience on Strava for where you should or shouldn't run, I would say there are people like me who, now that I'm hooked up to it, are just running anywhere. That like may not be an advisable place to run, and then so then future generations, a week later, we'll see them like, oh, here's a trail, or here's a path, or here's a good route, and it's just me running on an off ramp on a highway
Yeah.
and
This is
turning
how
around.
misinformation gets spread.
Yeah, it all comes from my Strava account.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
you're starting it off.
and people like me, yeah, not just me. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Just brave souls that are just like, I'm gonna take this thing, whatever it is, it's the highway, it's fine.
Well, I used to run, in when I travel a lot for work, and I would be in new cities, and I would just run without a phone, and so like I would hilariously run into all sorts of things, but no one would ever know. But
Yeah.
now you could look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, then you have to like publish it and explain yourself. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going. This didn't go so well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I did some like yeah, I do it all the time. I did some recently where I do it in New York though, even where I live. I'll be like I was just doing one. I was trying. A lot of the time, I run the bridges near me, or I'll run Central Park. But a couple weekends ago, or last weekend, I wanted a longer run, so I ran over the Williamsburg into Brooklyn, then I ran over into Queens, and then I ran the Queensboro into Manhattan, and I ran back home, and I ended up doing like 14 something. But there's points in the middle that if you zoomed in, you'd see me like hilariously looping around, yeah, trying to figure out how the hell to get like from the bridge to like to run alongside the river and stuff like that. So.
That's great.
Yeah, it was very fun.
I like looking at segments too. Like, I love just using the Strava map and looking at heat maps of various sports, and then also just looking at segments in different sports, like see where people have gone. And like segments are super cool to me because it's like unearthing all of the historical like records of people doing that one piece of like road or trail or whatever. So it's like when you make a segment, like you can unearth like whoever has done that before.
Oh, like when you name it or something, right?
Yeah, or you create a segment, like if you ran somewhere and then you're like, I wonder like who else ran this, and then you create a segment and then you can like look up all the historical efforts
Oh,
there.
yeah.
So I like to do it as like some kind of detective work just for fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I also like looking just at the map and then like turning the segment layer on and like going to some really crazy places in the world and like seeing if there's a segment there and like seeing who did it. Like there's this one segment in like northern New Hampshire or Maine or something that like crosses the border and it's like named something crazy like illegal. And like there's like one guy on it and I was like, all right, you created this segment. And then he did it as like a flex. And I wonder if he like wanted to have other people like attempt to like run across the border.
You haven't been tempted to go there to try to get the
The
fastest known
QR.
time, yeah,
That
or
was
whatever, yeah.
it's tempting, yeah. He's like daring people to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have views on like what should be like a minimum length of segment, or do you like all types of segments? I feel like it's a bit of a debate.
Yeah, I definitely think they shouldn't be as like they should be shorter because I don't know, like
Because otherwise it's like a route or
yeah. It's like when people Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, no, it's tough. I don't think I really have a strong opinion on that. It just, I guess tangential to that is like when people have an FKT on the FKT site and there's already a Strava segment for the route, and like someone who's, I don't know, fifth or something on the segment leaderboard will say that they have the FKT. And I guess that's like it's obvious that that isn't the FKT because we already have a Strava leaderboard. But then I don't know, other people will complain about that, but then not do anything to change it. And then I also think like FKT should do more like research on, I don't know, it's a whole argument, because FKT doesn't have the resources to like to vet everything, and they're very like crowdsourced, so they just allow people to submit routes, submit times, and they don't do any like checking of that, like verification. This is like a whole sub thing that I'm just going into, but
It's
go, yeah,
perfect.
go, yeah, run into
Okay.
it.
So yeah, I understand that they don't have the resources to do it, and it would probably be way too much work even for one route to like find all of the historic times on the route. But it like you almost kind of wish there was just like a basic level of verification that could check to see if they're like the Strava segment, like what the leaderboard is on that or something. But I don't know, it's
Well,
complicated.
I mean, now that we've like found ourselves here, I'll just go even deeper and say, what if like I'll just tell sort of the Jordan Fields, what was it, the Dartmouth Greenway or whatever that he did that was probably the fastest it's ever been done, but like was intentionally not submitted to FKT because he wanted to have friends running a couple times and just didn't want to deal with the rules and everything. So like and I think he said something like, and I don't even know if it's the fastest, because there's these legends of like these people doing it in the 60s or 70s. It's been done for so long by as like a tradition in the area that, you know, who knows what the FKT is.
Yeah, totally.
And so there's like, I guess it's to say the FKT website is very much like an opt-in, like self-reported thing. Whereas like what you're saying is like, there's all these faster times that in fact are in some cases even like known.
It's tough because there is a lot of that historic stuff that you would have to like do some intense like deep dive into like the local community to even find out what those times are. So it like obviously FKT doesn't have the time. Nobody has the time to do that. So it does make sense that like self-reporting makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, but
We need like a historian. I feel like there was some like ultra runner historian guy that was like tweeting a bunch of stuff about like
there
Western
was
states and stuff.
like a Harry Smith of like ultra running.
Because I feel like I don't know if you saw any of this, Abby, but like this guy was at least a couple years ago when I started to get into Western states and was like learning about it and stuff. There's like a whole established legend about how it was, how the route was created and like who did it first and all this stuff. And then this guy came out of nowhere and was like, actually, you know, and had like a bunch of other sort of like alternative thoughts, that sort of like rebuked the common sort of understanding of it.
Interesting. I like it. I like it when people like come out there and just like shed new light or like share their like knowledge about stuff. I love it. And it just adds excitement. So I always take more excitement in things.
It's like how everyone used to think Abner Doubleday invented baseball, but it turns out that's probably just like a myth. Right?
I think that's right.
I'm such a bad like sports fan, like outside of running and niche sports. I'm like, I don't know.
Sometimes we talk about how, like, sometimes when Dave makes references I don't understand, I'll just sometimes smile and nod.
I think that the Abner Doubleday thing's been debunked so long that now people actually don't even remember that that was the accepted explanation for the roots of baseball, because I think it was debunked pretty widely in Ken Burns's baseball documentary that came out around when I was skiing at Black Mountain.
Nice, nice.
So It occurs to me something we always forget to do off the top that we forgot again is ask our special guests to introduce themselves because we love to splice our special guest's name into our theme song. So, Abby, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, and you can say anything or nothing you want as long as you say your name.
Okay. Also, sorry about my camera. It's like
Cool. Yeah.
it's going crazy here. My name is Abby Bennett. I like to run a lot and do endurance sports. And that's when I tell when I like meet people and we end up talking about running, I say that's everything to me. And it's like probably a little too intense and they're just like,
Oh,
"Oh." But yeah, it's like a huge part of my life and I just became so obsessed with it and it like took over basically like every decision that I've made for a few years. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think that's pretty much it right now. I'm like
yeah,
I've
that's a
been
great.
going through it a little bit with like injuries, so
Oh, no.
I think I'm trying to find like a perspective right now, but
Okay. Yeah, I've been like under the weather just a little bit the last few days since I haven't run in half a week, and so yeah, and that's the worst. But injuries are even worse than what I'm crying about over here.
Yeah.
It's all relative to like what you're going through and what's the norm. So
Yeah. Well, I like you. I try to run whenever I can. Although I don't think, yeah, probably haven't hit your distances, but
yeah.
working on it.
I've yet to like do a 50K. I just
Same.
like my body's just like nah.
You're a sub ultra specialist.
Yeah, not by choice so much, but
by necessity. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, as was I. I recently did a 50K distance, but just walking. There were like very, very little running moves involved. My friend and I just wanted to sort of do just this random route that we talked a little bit last time. But prior to that, I had done like up to like, I don't know, 25 and a half, and like everything always came like just short of even marathon distance. And Dave
Yeah.
runs marathons.
Yeah.
I've done three marathons, and I also did the Walk for Hunger once in Boston when I was a kid,
How
which
far is
was
that?
the 20 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was
Oh,
that was
wow.
yeah,
Okay.
that was the first time I ever swallowed a pill. I had Advil after that because I could feel it. I was really little. I don't remember how old I was. My good friend and his parents were doing it, and they invited me. I'm like, yeah, I like events. I like things. I like doing stuff. So I did, and it sounded like a good cause, right? The Walk for Hunger. I think it was, yeah, fighting hunger. I don't think it was in support of it, but they were handing out Advil, and I did take some.
Yeah, I'm sure you were hungry though. So.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they were handing out food, but I don't really remember. I just remember getting like them handing out Gatorade and Advil and taking them together and being surprised that
Best aid station.
I was surprised that Advil tasted like candy. I didn't know that.
Oh, when I was a kid, I like loved taking like cold medicine. It was like the
Yeah.
grape kind. I
Oh
was like, oh
yeah.
yeah, give me some of that.
Yeah.
I want to get a cold.
Yeah.
The Advils do taste so good. They're coating. So I just a couple, maybe just a couple quick administrative items. So did we answer all of your questions, Abby? I feel like we jumped around a little bit.
I think you did, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
And question two is, we have to ask all of our special guests this season this question.
Oh, yeah.
Do you happen to know David Rawlings, the musician?
No.
Okay,
Okay.
that's fine.
So far you're the same as all the other special guests this season.
Okay,
So yeah.
good.
He's a musician. Yeah, you check out if you know Gillian Welch, that's like his musical and life partner, we think. And anyway, we decided that season five will not end until we get Dave Rawlings on the show because we have like sort of a mix of different types of runners and, you know, representing different types of ambulation. And then we also have musicians. Those are kind of our two sort of like specialties, kind of
That makes
like
a lot of sense.
preserving a little bit of the original.
True to our roots, as
Cool.
a non-running radio show that we sometimes will have non-runners. Although most people you have on, if you ask them, they run a little bit.
Yeah, they always
Yeah.
have an interesting angle on running, which is cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think you have that niche covered. Like, I was also noticing that you had a lot of musicians on when I was looking through your episodes. So I was
Yeah.
like,
Oh, cool.
We've been very like musician heavy lately too, so it's nice to have a solid just runner back.
Yeah, but are you a
you
fan of
could be a
music,
musician,
Abby?
yeah.
I am, but I'm not like the most. I don't have like the widest knowledge of
That's
music.
okay.
But I do love music.
Do you like running while listening to music ever?
Yeah, I used to do it a lot more.
Yeah.
Especially with workouts, like I have many playlists like dedicated to workouts throughout the years. And like specific kinds of workouts too, like I have uphill workouts.
Nice.
And so yeah, I especially like years ago, like when I starting to get into running, I was just like full of so much energy and I was just like getting hyped up by music. And now like I guess like the more I've trained, the more just like zen I feel with it. And like I just could don't really I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm running. And then sometimes just silence. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. Like workouts I don't need to get psyched up for anymore. It's like I just know how to do them and then I don't need like that extra energy. I'm just it's kind of more of just a like a routine at this point.
I've had the same progression. Yeah. I started with a lot of music. Now it's usually either a podcast or nothing.
Yeah, you're like you're absolutely
Yeah.
dying like on an uphill, like just going as hard as you can, and you're just listening to like some calm podcast, and you're like,
Yeah.
yes. You're like kind of like getting disassociated from it in the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's effective, right?
Yeah.
It's almost a good multitask where, you know, because I don't have a lot of time to listen to podcasts, but I do enjoy them occasionally. And it's like, well, while you're running is a pretty good time.
You don't have the life of leisure that just affords sitting around in a reclining chair listening to podcasts all day
listening to
long.
Podcasts.
Yeah.
No.
You have things to get done.
Yeah, totally. It's time to do that. And like that I'm way more excited to do like a 2 hours of activity in that day if I've got like three good podcasts that have come out and I'm just like,
Oh
oh
yeah.
yeah, this is gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've tried a book. I tried an audiobook and I had a little bit of a hard time with it.
Yeah. Cause it's like a podcast kind of lasts the duration of your activity that day, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. There's that. And I don't know. I find like reading or even like an audiobook, I want to be like pretty closely like paying attention. And sometimes when you're running, I mean, like you can't get so deep into it. You're going to trip and fall like I often do.
Totally.
I listened to like half of a biography of Joseph Stalin for a while. That was kind of good because like I didn't need to know any of that stuff, right? Like, but
Yeah.
I could drift off and stop paying attention.
Yeah, you're like, if I pick up anything from this, it's good.
Yeah, anything is it will be just interesting to know.
Yeah,
which it was.
And our friends and special guests that are like the 100-mile type folks, they're just like starving for any content to just fill the time. And so,
oh yeah,
you know, things like had one that was listening to like a dungeon and Dungeons and Dragons like podcast where like it was basically just some guys that were really good at Dungeons and Dragons, like, and it's got a whole, I don't really know the game that well, but there's like a whole like theatrical, like you sort of improv like the parts and like make up the scenarios, and this was like probably like 50 hours
Oh my God.
worth of content. But
That sounds like a little interesting. It's like a story that people
yeah,
are
that's just
acting in.
kind of random, but like it's literally just like something to fill the, you know,
Yeah.
the time almost.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. Like I've sought out like so many podcasts, like done research so just so I can fill like the time. And now it's to the point where I'm like overwhelmed by the content, but it's also
Yeah.
like I got into podcasts that are about like sports that are like also endurance sports, but maybe like not ones that I was doing. So like I got super into that Triathlon Life podcast. And then I started listening to like gravel cycling podcasts and then like it got me into those sports too, unfortunately. So then I became obsessed with gravel cycling. But now
Nice.
like it's really cool to find podcasts that are kind of like related to what you're doing, but in a slightly different like silo, because people in just different endurance sports think about things so differently, and they approach things with different science, and there's just like different norms within that community. So I find it like really helpful to like learn from other endurance sports.
That's cool. That's
Yeah,
cool.
that's a good idea. The only sports podcasts I listen to are soccer podcasts, but
Ooh.
I was already obsessed, but more like for soccer fans, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I
well,
no, I'm also well, I'm not really a fan. I like watching soccer. I don't know
yeah.
like the details of the teams, but it's probably the best to me. It's like the most entertaining sport to watch.
It's
Yeah.
become my favorite, yeah. And that once I got access to enough television channels, where I could
Yeah.
watch it all the time, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it used to be a thing you couldn't watch. Like every World Cup, I would be like, "Oh, I'm gonna follow soccer more," and then I just didn't
Yeah.
have access to it.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. Really like watching the UTMB race.
that
It is,
a
yeah,
thing you
they
can
crushed it. They crushed it.
Yeah, they do great video.
It's like 3 days worth of live streams.
Just
And
live
like,
racing.
that's the
Yeah.
one at Chamonix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, I don't know as much about the ultra world, but no, I imagine. I mean, I always watched the Boston Marathon growing up and always loved that.
It's true. It's fun to watch, right?
I think so. It's over too quick.
Yeah.
Gotta get to the ultra ones.
Yeah, exactly. That's the next. That's it's like how you if you're running and you like when I finished my first marathon, I was like, it was just such an achievement to cross the finish line. I didn't think I was gonna make it. And the last two I finished and I was like, I could keep running. Which probably means I should have been running faster, but also the other thing is to start running farther, you know?
Yeah, I guess that is like the whole like the progression of different runners is either like I want to do this faster or I want to push myself to like go a longer distance. And then I guess that's like most people. And then the pros are probably they want to try the longer distance and then they want to like get super fast at it. So yeah, I don't know.
And I feel like we're falling victim to the same thing that happened last episode, which is we haven't actually asked you too much about your running, and you are quite an accomplished runner. And
Oh, thanks.
Let's
I
do a
believe
lightning round of
you.
that then,
Quick,
Trevor.
quick, quick lightning
Yeah.
round.
Sorry,
Yeah.
it's my fault.
No, it's totally
It's
ours.
our format's fault, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of our format. This is kind of just the podcast.
Yeah.
We leave this like we forget to talk about anything of substance, and then with 8 minutes left,
Lightning round.
lightning round. But anyway, I think I sort of started following you in the White Mountains Endurance Cup, was it from last year or
Yeah.
a year or two ago?
Last year, yeah.
And so you are quite a fast mountain racer. From you finished second, was it in the cup?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, I would say like the last year was special in the women's racing because typically it's not competitive. It's never really been competitive. And that was also the first year of the cup, I think. But yeah, there's usually like one or two races that are like a few athletes deep in competition. But the whole cup was basically competitive last year, which was really awesome. And it was like such a cool experience, I think, for all of the women involved because we were so like supportive of each other, but also like competitive, and we were all like quite good. So it was so fun to be part of that and like get to race with those awesome women. And yeah, it was like there was a video, there were video projects that came out of it, which is awesome that Ethan and Cody did. And they did such a good job of like interviewing all the women and like also the men's races. But to me, it was special that they really talked to the women about like their races and racing with each other. So it was awesome. Yeah, I felt like last year went pretty well for me, especially at the beginning of the year. I had my best race ever at Vermont Overland, which is an incredible race over in West Windsor, at Ascutney Outdoors. in Vermont. It's the running version of the iconic gravel race, like the Vermont Overland. And the prize purse is really good, and it's about a 14-mile trail race that also does some double track and like gravel roads. So it's just like about 2,500 vertical feet. So not like crazy vert and just like really flowy. That's like probably my favorite race ever. And I had a really good race that day. Like that race was pretty competitive. Lauren Gregory won. She beat like me and Andy the second and third place. Me and Andy were second and third. Lauren Gregory is like world class. She's like top 10 in Golden Trail World Series and stuff.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, she's so good, and it's fun when she races like out here. But yeah, she like beat me by 4 minutes, which to me, like I'm like, I'll take it. Like
Wow. Yeah.
so, yeah, I'll take it. She probably wasn't working as hard as me, but whatever.
Who enjoyed it more? That's the question.
Oh, she, I think she did. She was,
Oh, okay.
she probably was working like way less, so
Yeah,
she got to enjoy it more.
okay.
But you know, I had fun the whole time. It was a blast.
Oh, good.
And yeah, so I was pretty stoked about that. And then about a month later, I won the Chocorua Mountain Race, which
Nice.
was like, I felt so good on that day, and I was so happy with it. And I was like competing with some of the lead men too, which was exciting. Not like the top people, but like the second pack back. So it was fun
Yeah.
like running with them. And yeah, I just felt like su super strong that day. And then kind of after that, like I think I just like had exhausted myself a little bit, and then I kind of overtrained because I got too excited about it all. So I was just like probably doing too much, and then
Yeah.
had some really bad races after that. And I couldn't really get back to the feeling I had for that early season. So yeah, what definitely was not stoked with like two of the other cup races. But it was fun, like just being part of it the whole year and being healthy enough to race each
Nice.
of those races. Like that was awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, we and I feel like that was kind of the hope with Aravaipa, right? Is that like there's it's sort of like build out the infrastructure more and bring in some runners that maybe aren't familiar with the whites and like get them up, kind of, make the races more competitive, all that. So
Yeah,
that's cool.
it was all like local women who like were racing the cup, or like the competitive people who were racing the cup. And to be honest, well, except for we had an awesome Canadian runner come down for the Bald Face
Oh, nice.
scramble, and we were all like running with her for a while, so that was awesome.
Did she hit the illegal segment on the way? Just hit that up, take it off, KT it. KT it just, just as a warm up. I should say we have 50 seconds left. We do record on a timer.
Oh, sorry.
No, there's no sorry. I think we've hit on most important things, but is there anything you want to
Yeah.
make sure to mention, Abby, that we haven't asked about or anything important?
I guess I would just say like right now I don't feel like the best runner, and I feel really detached from it because I've been injured. But you know, I'm just gonna keep going forward, and hopefully my best days are ahead of me.
That's yeah.
I
We'll
think they always are. Yeah.
reach out to our listeners, and I'm sure we'll get some words of support from some of them. We'll pass them along.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But thank you so much for joining. This has been a lot of fun.
this is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Yeah.
Abby.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Thank you so much, Abby, for coming on. What a great talk, and what great closing thoughts as well.
Yes, thanks so much, Abby.
Yeah, that was really fun, and I like when a guest comes on and right off the top hits us unexpectedly with a bunch of questions. So
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
little taste of our own medicine.
Yeah. I feel like the special guests have really been sort of like bringing us some really good questions recently, which is nice. I always love the questions.
They're making up for the episode preparation that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing it at least.
Every time it's not like, who are you guys, and like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
I just get happy.
Yeah, exactly. What is this? You know, what is this? I'll answer the same question every week. I'd be happy to release a podcast which is you and me answering the same questions from different people asking it. That's fine by me.
Yeah. Well, that's coming soon.
Yeah,
Coming
next
soon.
season.
If we get stuck on this whole Rawlings search, we might have to just start another podcast.
That's right. But what do you mean by next season? This season's never going to end. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we had a number of topics we had to cover, right? Before we got to our talk with Abby, we were talking about, I don't know, invasive species and shoes.
Invasive species. We got a little bit off topic. I think we were trying to empty out the mailbag. So
Okay.
I've got one more, and then actually I got two more here.
All
So,
right, let's do it.
one from a dear listener says that the reverse of running faster than you want when passing someone. This is something that you talked about last episode, like when you sort of pick up your speed a little bit just to get past somebody, but they're kind of like going your pace or whatever. The reverse of this is when you're in the very last seconds of a jog phase of intervals and someone passes you, and you then have to make a decision about whether to repass them, like you're trying to big dog them, or just reroute entirely. So not mentioned there is the option of like stopping the workout or like modifying the workout. But yeah, so there you go. That's the opposite scenario.
That's cool. That reminds me of when we did the original Community Mile, popular podcast related running event from a couple years ago. And wasn't there somebody at the track doing crazy sprints at the
Oh
time we were doing?
yeah.
Yeah, like crazy 100 meter sprints while we were doing mile runs.
That like started exactly the same time as one of the heats of the community mile.
Totally messing up our pace attempts, that we had no idea how fast to pace ourselves anyway.
As I recall, we allowed that runner to be an official entrant, and put them marked them down for a DNF when they turned around after 100 meters.
They were threatening the world record in the first 100 meters, and then then DNF'd after that.
The
So
DNF. Yeah, it's kind of like the what we were talking about with Abby and FKTs. And if the person is not a willing participant, I don't know, can we really DNF that guy? It's a big philosophical question. Let's see. Yeah, so I guess that's it. I mean, I don't really have much else here in the mailbag. Just definitely a lot of shoe chatter. People wanted to help you out there, which is great. I guess I'd say to dear listener, any advice for Abby and her sort of return from injury, kind of building back, definitely appreciated. And then I've got just one sort of, it's not actually a race report, it's an FKT update.
Oh, let's hear it.
This was the Mahoosic Traverse, and our special guest Jeff Colt just set the male unsupported FKT.
Hey, way to go, Jeff. Thanks for representing the pod.
Yeah, back in August, and with the female unsupported being held by Hillary Girardi, that means that our college now holds both male and female.
Wow.
Our alma mater. Yeah.
Well, look at us, huh? Our unnamed college.
We're yeah.
I'll
There we
take
go.
credit. I guess I should try to contribute to that. I'll see if I could break the record for the Manhattan Bridge Strava segment.
Segments are pretty fun. I have to agree with Abby. There's yeah, it's just fun to kind of like see a segment and then just kind of like understand all the running that's happened on that segment. And some people don't even know when you create. It's funny when you create a segment because literally everybody before you has never knew they were running a segment. They were just on some run, and then all of a sudden, your run is a segment. And who knows? Maybe you've even got the top time. You might have the FKT all of a sudden.
I bet I don't, but I should try to find one. In New York is probably hard to get FKTs because there are just
Oh, I'm
so many
sure.
runners and so many good runners, right? But I should try to find a segment somewhere that I could steal the FKT of, right? That's like what people do, right? Like weirdos, I mean, but like,
Yeah, you could go for like a random local legend or like top time.
That might not be doable in New York. There's just so many runners out
I
there.
think so. I think that's a little bit of a tough ask.
I'd have to take the Metro North to like who knows wherever, yeah, or NJ Transit or the Long Island Railroad. We have three different commuter rails over here.
Or just create something that's like completely random and obscure and contrived. That's the
That's the
way
way
you
to
could
do
do
it.
it. Just make something
Oh.
contrived that nobody else has done.
How do you create a segment?
You run, and then I believe you have to go on your laptop. You can't do it on like the phone app, but you go on your laptop and you can sort of like select a segment and create a segment from your run.
Yeah, maybe next weekend I'll try to do this when I'm back from my travels to Kansas City. I'll try to find somewhere in New York where I can create a segment. Be a good personal challenge.
Completely contrived segment that you can win. I feel like there are some good memes about that.
Yeah, and I think it's very doable in New York, I think, because there's some weird places. They might not be safe, but I'll try to find something that's safe enough.
So yeah, I think that's what I had for mailbag. Anything on your end?
No, I had nothing. I've just been selfishly thinking about my own shoes for 2 weeks, so I'll try to just get over that and maybe start re-engaging with the world of listeners and mailbags and the larger world in general.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well,
Well,
I
yeah.
guess that might be all there is, to talk about this week in running. We'll get back at it soon, hopefully next week. And until then.
Onward.
Special guest,
Abby Bennett.
This is the power.